Today is July 29th, 2023. Current Bitcoin price is $29,308.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Same old, same old.
How was your week?
It was okay.
I haven't gotten to see you at all this week.
Yeah.
It's been, you know, as we get older, busy and busier just seems to kind of just be the normal, you know? We wanted to get together earlier this week because we were right after the Fed had made their announcement, right? And you were right on that. You nailed that one on the head.
Mm-hmm.
25 basis points. So do you know, well, I don't think we do know exactly what the rate is now, but I want to say it's like, it's almost 5.5%, almost 6%.
Yeah, I was going to say it's over 5.5% now, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of crazy that this is happening now, and basically the highest rates we've seen in 20 years since, you know, they started lowering the rates, you know, after the dot-com bubble.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting, too, coming off the back of the news that we got earlier, where CPI was reportedly, you know, base inflation was at 3%, you know, so it, according to what they're doing, they're saying that it's working, but.
Yeah, but they're still raising it. So that kind of signals to me that it's not really working.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
exactly. I mean, in core inflation is still higher than the CPI inflation. So.
Yeah. Yeah, there's got to be something else on the horizon that we're not seeing. You know, I mean, there's rumors, right? There's mumblings.
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of rumblings. And so, you know, of course, the Fed's playbook is if there is something that happens, they just cut interest rates to, you know, stimulate the economy or whatever. But
I think you brought up a good point about that last episode where they need to get interest rates high even in order to, if something does happen, that they can cut rates, right?
Yes, they have to be in a position to cut rates, because when rates are already at
zero,
you know, next to zero, then where do you go?
Yeah,
I mean, Europe even played with negative interest rates for a little bit.
Yeah, they did. And I honestly thought during that whole time, I thought in the United States we were going to end up seeing some of that as well during that whole COVID crash that we had, you know, in 2020, I really truly thought we were going to go negative interest rates, and it didn't happen in the States. We got pretty darn close to zero, basically. And then I thought we may go negative, but it didn't happen.
No, did not happen, which I'm thankful for, because that just sounds insane. Yeah. That is totally upside down economics.
I completely agree. I mean, there's talk about a way to penalize savers, right? That's what it's going to come down to when they do that. Yeah, and that's, I don't know. It's contrary to what I would think is going to happen, but I think you may be right on the head with that, where they need to have a place to be able to cut rates if they can get the market to crash or at least hurt really badly, they need to be able to be in a position that they can make those moves and make those adjustments to look like the heroes of the economy again.
Yeah.
Because then
everything's an illusion with the Fed.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how to put it. We'll have to kind of see what happens. I'm curious what's going to happen with CPI again now, especially coming into August. You know, are we going to see inflation go to 2.5%? Is it going to be that drastic of a drop? I mean, again, we're still not seeing it anywhere.
Yeah. Well, even if inflation is now at 3%, it's 3% higher than last year, which was like previously was unheard of price increases on the year before that, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. It just seems ridiculous, and especially when I'm watching like the Biden administration right now talking about how their Bidenomics is working, I'm looking around and I'm just like, I don't know if a lot of people believe you, but I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, well, and it was funny too. I watched a news report on that and Bidenomics, whatever it was called. And people, like, I swear the vast majority of people just really don't understand things. They were sitting there and they're like, it's not working. They need to cut us some more checks. It's like, that's kind of the reason we're partially in the situation that we're in now.
Exactly.
But they don't make that correlation. And then the other thing too, like, did they pass the Student Loan Forgiveness Act or whatever that was?
Did they pass an act on that? I saw that the Supreme Court struck something down on that.
I hope they did. I mean, no offense to anybody that took out a college loan. I think that's, you know, that's admirable that you went to college and you got an education, but I don't think they should be put on the American people for the cost of your education.
Yeah. Well, that's a difficult subject.
Yeah.
Especially, it's kind of crazy because you can, let's say an 18-year-old kid graduates from high school and he goes to a bank and he wants to take out a business loan for, you know, $150,000 to start his own business, and they just laugh at him and they go, no. Mm-hmm. They kick him out. But you go to a college and you ask for $150,000, $200,000, $300,000 in student loans. They're like, no problem.
Yeah. Here you go.
There you go.
Sign the button and then, here.
Exactly. And then, oh yeah, this is completely unforgivable. And, you know, when you graduate from that 4-year degree, you know, let's just say on the low end, you spent $150,000 and, you know, you got a degree in underwater basket weaving and now you're a barista at Starbucks. And then the housing prices have gone to like, you know, $700,000 for a decent sized home in your metropolitan area. And that can be on the low end, depending where you're at.
Yeah.
I mean, you're never getting out. You're never going to buy a house.
No, no. And even if you have looked like in our local area on what housing is going for, I think even in, you know, the city of Bloomfield or the town of Bloomfield, I don't know if you call it a city, but I think the lowest house that I've seen on the market here right now is like 220,000, and there's not that many on the market, like not that many available. I don't know who's buying up the property still, but it's still being bought up quickly and the prices are not cheap. And I mean, you're talking about, you know, the houses in Bloomfield, for the majority of them, 220,000 is not going to get you that's not cheap, and that's not going to get you a great house.
Yeah, no, that's just to show, at what point is all the Federal Reserve hikes going to take effect in the real estate?
We're still waiting to see it, right? Because we've talked about that within commercial real estate, right?
Yeah, commercial real estate. I mean, that one's a different ball of wax.
I still would expect that one to be the first one to topple.
For sure.
But
I would also expect, well, I guess the residential housing is going to kind of, it can stay afloat for a while longer because people, you know, let's say you just wanted to buy a different house and move, and now you're looking at interest payments that are, you know, over 6%. Maybe you had a sweet deal a few years ago and you're only at, you know, 2.5-3%.
Yeah.
I mean, you're almost locked into your house now.
Yeah. Why would you? So, I mean, if you had bought, I mean, just even in early 2020, you know, if you had bought it around that time, your interest rates were still low. The housing market wasn't ridiculous yet. I mean, it was already kind of inflated. It had been inflated, but it wasn't as ridiculous as it is now. And if you wanted to change, you would be buying less of a home. I mean, you'd probably be getting something on par, maybe a little bit less with the equity that you would have gotten out of your home that you'd already purchased, and your interest rate would be double.
Yes.
So I don't know where the benefit for that move would come from.
Now, unless you already had a ton of equity, I guess.
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that was like, you saw that a lot in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where people were getting ridiculous, value on their homes. And, but they, you know, they would sell, you know, this, and this is probably right before the interest rates started going through the roof. They would sell, but then, you know, they had this extra equity, but then that extra equity had to go to the purchase of the new home that was probably on par, maybe slightly better. But yeah, I mean, it was apples to apples at that point. You weren't getting much out of it unless you were one of those Californians, right?
Right.
Who sold out of California and then moved out to, you know, New Mexico, where everybody's poor. And you can buy you get $1 million for your 1,800 square foot home in California. Come out here and then you can buy a
4,000 square foot with like a ton of land, and you still have a few hundred grand
left.
Like at least half of your earnings still left. So yeah, at least for that's how it was before. I don't know.
I would think that somewhat of that is still there. Although I don't know what the California housing market looks like. I don't think it's probably gone down at all.
Nowhere has gone down.
No. Yeah, that was, we actually talked a lot about interest rates there. So,
there's so much happening, and it's, none of it seems to be moving. It's a weird stasis, just watching everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it's in a weird, everything's like in a holding pattern still, and it seems like it's been this way for this whole, basically a year at this point. Because I think it was a little bit over a year ago that we saw the record inflation rate going through the roof. And it's been waiting and seeing. I mean, I still expect that we'll have a reduction in interest rates, but I don't think that's going to happen for at least another 6 or 7 months. But I'm not sure. So in some other news, we got lost in the weeds on that one there. But in other news that we were wanted to bring up, or that I wanted to check out too, was apparently the U.S. House Committee passes a bill to protect self-custody. So they're calling it, I believe they call it the FIT bill. And primarily what they're trying to do is they're trying to, especially with all the issues that the SEC has been having, they want to get the SEC and the CFTC to kind of sit together at the table and like, let's really kind of get some regulations hammered out. I think the SEC said that it was going to take them at least 3 years to come out with regulations, which I don't know why. You can come out with them pretty quickly, but they're dragging their feet big time on it. And I think Gensler is coming in under a lot of pressure, political pressure right now, because of their recent loss to XRP. So we'll see.
Are they appealing that loss?
They said that they probably will. I keep on hearing rumors that they will. However, even if they do, from what I understand, it's going to take like 3 years before they can even begin the appeal process. And I don't know the particulars as to why that takes that long.
Maybe just because it's government.
It could be. I'm not sure, but it could be. There's going to be something in there that where it's going to take time. And I don't think it's going to affect, I think the part that they're going to appeal, because part of what happened with that win, and it was only a partial win, was because if XRP is being sold to retail investors, it is not a security. If it is being sold to institutional investors or clients, then it is a security. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So like people like you and I, we can buy it no problem, and it's not a security. I mean, regardless, people treat securities like it's a bad thing. Anytime you buy a stock, it's a security. So I don't know. I mean, basically is, unless you're being promised that you're going to get returns, then pretty much everything that people are buying within the crypto space should be a commodity. But now if you're looking at one of the big time decentralized exchanges where they were promising, you know, a 24% return, that at that point is a security. If you're being offered basically a contract with guaranteed results, that's when it needs to be regulated as such. But I mean, we've seen a lot of different things happen with that. And most of the ones that we saw during that, because the decentralized was huge going into this last bull market, you know, this last cycle. And being promised those types of returns, I mean, you can't really do that. Nothing can do that. The guarantee part anyways.
Yeah.
So I think that's, I mean, really, that's that needs to be the basis, is if you're buying something and look, you have the possibility, yeah, it could make money or it could not. It's a commodity. If it is guaranteeing you that it's going to make you money, that's where you need to make sure there's regulations in place, in my opinion. But
well, that's where you probably shouldn't be investing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's,
it sounds like a scam.
Yeah. There's, if it sounds too good to be true, because I mean, honestly, if that was able to be done, every bank would be doing it. Why wouldn't they?
Right.
So anyways, that Fit bill, you know, we were kind of talking about that before the podcast began, but basically allowing people to self-custody, it has passed, you know, within the House, but you don't think it'll carry over or that it'll make it all the way across the board, right?
No, I don't. I just have the House can pass anything, but it has to go through the Senate. And let's say it manages to get, you know, both houses and this, you know, in Congress, and then it goes to the president. Do you think his handlers are going to let him sign that?
Only if it's buried in something else that gets him something else that he wants.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know. I don't see there any benefit to them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not happening. It's a nice gesture.
Yeah, I would love to see it get passed because, I mean, I think that's one of the big concerns, right? Especially going into the future, is that whether or not you will be allowed to self-custody your own crypto. I mean, I'm neither going to confirm nor deny that I do self-custody, but I think that's essential. Like, you should be allowed to be personally responsible for your investments in cryptocurrency. Personal opinion, I guess. And then kind of going into some other things here, we did have in Bitcoin
templates in America, and well, in other places around the world, I should say, not really America, but for people or governments, you know, declaring bank holidays, taking a haircut, taking a piece of that.
Yeah.
And there's even examples in other countries of raiding 401ks. So, I mean, the template is there for that potentially to happen. The one area that the government does not have access to yet is the cold storage.
Yeah. So, and that's where the rub lies, right? Like, I mean, because if that's the case, if more and more people move into self-custody, then they can't clip it.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. If you start raiding people's bank accounts and their 401ks, where's the money going to go after that?
Yeah. Well, they're totally going to go to self-custody. I mean, you kind of saw that with the rise of what happened with Silicon Valley Bank and, you know, some of those others that were going on with, what was the other ones? I can't think of them off the top of my head.
Is it Signature?
Signature. And then I want to say there was another one too. But basically what it came down to is, I mean, that's when you saw a huge increase in even Ledger wallets. They saw a huge increase. I think they sold like 500,000 wallets like during that time.
Well, Bitcoin also basically rose 50% in value. It was at 20% before that.
Yeah.
Really started kicking off. So.
So, I mean, we're seeing already, we saw like a micro dose of what Bitcoin will do under those types of circumstances in the US. We've seen it in other countries already. But yeah, if but they can't clip that, right? I mean, and it goes back to, they always say the same thing. The old mantra that we've heard for a long time, if you've been in the crypto space for a while, is not your keys, not your crypto, right?
Right.
And it's true even with traditional banking. If you are holding your money at that bank, they have the ability to go in and just slice a little bit off the top every time they want.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, they do it under the guise of inflation, but they could be more forward about it and they could do it straight up. We'll give you shares in the bank.
It's a good trade. Still saying I would not invest in, not investing in Vice, but would not hold any shares of any banks right now.
Some interesting news is one of the first major exchanges in the world kind of is now integrating the Lightning Network into Bitcoin deposits. So for those of you that don't know what the Lightning Network is, it's a quick way for Bitcoin to transact because Bitcoin itself is very slow. Bitcoin can only do about 3 to 4 transactions a second. So it takes a while to get money going through. However, somebody a while back, they actually created what they call the Lightning Network, which is a second layer that operates above Bitcoin that can handle smaller transactions quickly and settle them for a fraction of the cost. So basically where a base Lightning fee is like 4 cents, it can transact that money much more quickly and it'll do it much cheaper. Whereas like if you're on the traditional Bitcoin network and things are really busy, I mean, you could be looking at as high a transaction fee of $30. So not only is it fast,
a long wait.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll take a while. It can take hours at times. So I think that's actually really cool to see. I'm guessing more exchanges are going to kind of adopt that pattern. Because even if they still charge a fee on top of that, they would be making a lot more profit in that way. Because, I mean, you could, if you're willing to pay like a $3 or $4 transaction fee to the exchange, meanwhile, they're only getting charged like 4 cents in the background. That's a much better profit margin for them.
Yeah, well, and they can do a lot more of them too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they're saying that roughly like regular Bitcoin transactions take roughly 10 minutes per confirmation. The second layer for Lightning sped up transaction times with the congestion, the network has currently a capacity of $147 million with 69,395 payment channels. So, I mean, if you can, you can support the Lightning Network and run your own Lightning node at home. You can actually get some of those transaction fees, you know, the 4 cents or whatever. But it's still not necessarily, like, I don't think it's going to make you money. You're not going to get rich off it. You probably don't have enough Bitcoin on there to do that. But there's still some risks, I think, involved with if you do run your own Lightning channel. But it's kind of cool that people can do that on their own. And I think the other cool thing about, like, if you do run a node is that you can actually process your transactions through your own node at home and batch them into the network at large. And I think that's a huge incentive. Basically, you become a point of transaction within the network itself, and you don't have to rely on a third party to do any movements. So that's kind of cool to see. Like, some of that decentralized stuff is starting to get implemented into the exchanges. So, and then the last thing that I was wanted to bring up too, and I had sent an article to you about this earlier in the week, is WorldCoin. Had you heard about it before?
Not until you sent me that link.
And I hadn't heard about it. Like, there was a WorldCoin that existed prior to this, because of, like, you know, there's 5,000 different cryptocurrencies out there. So of course there was one called WorldCoin before, but WorldCoin. And man, so Sam Altman, right?
Right.
He's a creator of, which one did he start? Do you remember?
OpenAI.
OpenAI. He created OpenAI. I guess he's very much a conspiracy kind of guy too, from what I understand. He's a prepper. He does all kinds of different stuff. But he is introducing this cryptocurrency, and it's not even a cryptocurrency because it's not decentralized. It's not... I don't think it's necessarily even blockchain type technology. Maybe it is, and it's just not decentralized. But I need to do some more research on this, but basically it's his idea of if AI is going to take over, we need to be able to verify that we are people and not AI. And so they want to do retinal scans, and they also want to do universal basic income through the coin. So it launched, I want to say, what day was that? Is that Wednesday this last week?
Yeah. I mean, that's not creepy at all. I mean, our AI overlords are, it might keep us around as pets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or they can poison their soil and green. I don't know.
People are basically lining up. Well, so they say people are lining up about one person every 8 seconds to get their retina scan to become a part of the WorldCoin. And that's one of the requirements. Like, if you're going to interact within this environment, you've got to have your retina scanned. So you're giving them this information, right? Like, you're this personal data. And from what I understand too, like, it's been pretty well received by the Davos group, by the World Economic Forum, which already, like, sets off alarm bells for me.
Yes.
So I don't know. That's something to kind of keep your eye on. I don't know how it's going to rise. I haven't seen any reports as to what the value of WorldCoin is. Let me see if I can pull something up real quick. Yeah, so WorldCoin is this the right one, though? Because, like I said, there's two different WorldCoins. This one is a 1 cent. I've got to do some more digging, see for sure. But, this is the right one because that's the logo for it. WorldCoin, WLD, is the crypto ticker for it. It's $2.31. Let's see what it's done in the past month. Actually, it's dropped. It was at $3.31 as of July 24th. So that was its big peak, and now it's down to $2.31.
Kind of.
It launched at, it looks like, $1.82. So I don't know, like, Binance, I know, has already listed it. And I still don't understand, like, why are you giving over, like, if you can still transact on it, like, on Binance, why do you have to scan your retina?
Right.
I don't know. Weird to me. Unless that's, like, your retina is going to go, but I've got to do some more research. So are they going to have retina scanners at everybody's home and you got to scan your retina to approve your transactions? Like, is that your signature seed phrase?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be completely personal, right? It's more personal than even your fingerprint.
Yeah.
I mean, in a dystopian future, yeah, that would work.
Yeah.
You piss off the wrong people, you even lose access to your own house.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Want to go to the library? No. You want to get on the train? No. Want access to your world coins?
Yep.
Nope.
Your wallet's been cut off. Yeah, that's kind of crazy. You bring up a good point with that. Like, I mean, because truly, like, I mean, we've talked about restrictions on movements before. And if it's all based off your retinal scans, that really can, like, that's going to be a hard one to forge.
You know, there's the other sci-fi thing with that is, you know, people kill you and then take out your eyeball then to get access to everything, right?
Yeah. Yeah, pluck out people's eyes to get them into the retinal scanners. Well, and then they could steal the retinal data.
Yeah, well, heck, what if cloning technology gets good enough and they can just get a DNA sample and then run your eyeball through there, just make an eyeball, get access to all your stuff?
That'd be so weird. You have, like, eyeball dealers on the dark net.
That's right.
I don't know, man. Like, yeah, he's trying to do it under the guise of being able to prove that you're human as opposed to AI, so. And then the universal basic income part of it, like, that's his plan. I don't know. It's interesting. I'd like to talk to somebody that's lining up to go scan their retinas and see just what their thought is.
That's true. Yeah, no, I'd be interested.
But, yeah.
All right, just another NPC, I don't know.
Did you have anything else you wanted to share today?
I think that's it for now.
Yeah. So everybody, keep an eye out. Merch still coming. Newsletter still coming. Revamping the website is still coming. We got some stuff happening in the works still. You just got to give us some time because we're all busy. We all got lives. So thank y'all for listening.
Thank you.